Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Thursday edition of the show. We were out yesterday due to the Louisville Bats having a day game and a lot of stuff to get to since we spoke last here on this program each day covering IU basketball, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Number of things to get to, as you could probably imagine. A lot of it this time of year revolves around the transfer portal, so we'll give you the very latest from there. Indiana, since we spoke last earlier this week, has made it official, signing Miles Rice and also Cannon Carlisle to official national letters of intent for next season. So things locked in, a little bit more official for those two for Indiana next year as well. The next name I think you could maybe expect is Luke Goody to be named to be added to the roster for next season. He's getting ready to take a visit to the IU campus here in the coming hours, I believe it is. And a lot of people think that the former Homestead in-state player who has been at Illinois will join Mike Woodson and Indiana next season. But glad you're with us today, and glad we'll be here for the rest of the week. It's that springtime where things are slowing down a little bit as far as basketball goes with the NCAA tournament over, but the transfer portal just keeps delivering news on a daily and sometimes hourly basis, and I hate to miss when we have a Bats day game, but it's just part of this time of year with some of the day games that happen in Major League and Minor League Baseball. So occasionally we miss for that, and hope to be with you here on a regular basis for the most part moving forward. Let's look at the show lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, segment one. Here in just a moment, we'll take a look at some headlines, Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take a look at what Mike Woodson had to say about his two new signings. Also, need to mention this, but Trey Galloway has had a minor surgery, it's been reported. I think we kind of knew maybe this was coming, but we'll tell you what we know about Galloway's surgery and his expected recovery from that. He's going to miss a little bit of the offseason, which is a bit of a bummer because all the offseason training and workouts and open gym play that happens is going to be so important nowadays with the transfer portal. You mesh the returning players like Galloway with the new, and he's going to miss some of that this coming offseason. So we'll get into that here in segment one as well and look at some other IU basketball things and some news around the Big Ten Conference also. Later today, it's Thursday, so Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with us. We'll catch up on the latest with IU basketball. We'll talk Luke Goody today with Alex and some other IU basketball off-season topics. And later in the show, Steve Kerberg is always with us. Steve's a former high school basketball coach in the area, and he joins us each Thursday to talk a lot of basketball stuff from a local perspective. We got Indiana Mr. Basketball that was named yesterday while we were out. Flory Badunga of Kokomo, who was an IU target for many, many months, now is, of course, locked in with Kansas. He will he is Mr. Basketball for the 23-24 high school hoop season. And Jack Bitter of Brownstown came in a very distant second place. I thought that might be a little closer in the final tally of votes, media, coaches, and others that get a ballot in that process, but it wasn't. Badunga, clear-cut, the Mr. Basketball for this season in Indiana, so we'll talk some about that with Steve when he's with us and more when he joins us later in the show today. That's the lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today. They've got great lunches, also sandwiches and salads and soups that are made fresh daily. Will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home, as they have a variety of dinner packages. So give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. That number is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Send in questions, comments, whatever it is for our guest. We'd love to get your direction, and as long as it's reasonable, we'll work it into the show here on this Thursday edition of things. That number is 502-414-1450. Just get your phone out, open up your text app, type it in, send us a message, and we'd love to hear from you. We'll get it on the air. And don't forget, you can check out Thornton's. They've got a new chicken and waffle breakfast burrito. It's available every a.m. at all participating Thornton's locations. It's classic comfort food with a kick. It features Mike's hot honey, and you can enjoy the deliciousness of sweet maple waffle, American cheese, crispy chicken, and Mike's hot honey. Your taste buds will thank you. Only available at Thornton's, so check that out. Send us a text on the Thornton's text line. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines for today. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Probably of most interest, I would think, to listeners is Trey Galloway had what was classified, I believe, as a minor knee surgery earlier this week, but is expected to be ready for the 2024-25 college basketball season. We don't know much about it. It was on his meniscus, according to Pegs.com. Nothing related to any kind of ligaments or anything more serious. So he had a wrist and groin surgery in the past. You might remember, excuse me, and he returned from those to the IU lineup. So here's wishing Trey an opportunity to recover quickly here this offseason. But he is going to miss some time out over this offseason recovering from that surgery. And as I mentioned at the start of the show, with how the world of college hoops works, the summer is so important because you get new returning players and the guys that are coming out of the portal, of course, with your normal recruits from high school and prep school and all that coming in. So it's an important time to get to play together, to get to know each other on and off the floor. And I know Trey will be around, but obviously getting those reps on the court not only can improve him as a player, but get him in the loop with some of these new guys, this new talent coming into the IU program that he'll be mixed with next year. So it is a bit of a buzzkill, definitely, because of all the newbies coming in to the IU roster for next season. But Galloway is expected to be ready in time for the 24-25 season. Also, since we spoke last earlier this week, Cannon Carlisle from Stanford made it official, signing his national letter of intent. And that means that Coach Woodson can actually speak about Carlisle. Here's what Coach had to say. He said, quote, Cannon is a dynamic player with the ball in his hands, with the length and skill set to create scoring chances for himself and others. His ability off the bounce pairs nicely with his shooting stroke. His length, quickness, and mentality give him the capability to be high-impact defender for our ball club. We are really excited to welcome him and his family to Indiana. And likewise, Miles Rice, also officially now an Indiana Hoosier. As of Tuesday afternoon, he signed with the IU program. Miles, of course, comes from Washington State from last season, where he was the Pac-12 Freshman of the Year and is a big, big get for IU in the portal this offseason. Here's what Coach Woodson had to say about Rice. Quote, Miles is a savvy downhill guard that really succeeds in pick-and-roll situations. He is a three-level scorer that makes the right play consistently, whether that is him getting to the rim or finding the open man. He is going to be a huge help for our ball club, and we are excited, very excited, to welcome him and his family to Bloomington. So two more official, Omar Ballo, already official for Indiana as far as signing for next season. And now the attention turns to Luke Goody, who played at Illinois and is a Fort Wayne native, played at Homestead High School in Fort Wayne. He is going to visit Indiana later today and Friday. Played 3 years at Indiana. I had forgotten about that. I thought it was just 2 years, but he played 3 years at Illinois and shot 39% from three-point range last season. So he would be a big get, and I think by all accounts, everybody expects Goody, who's technically a 6'7" forward, so he's bigger than you might think he is, which is a good thing in the Big Ten Conference. But everybody expects him to commit to the IU program. He's, according to everybody I talked to, very connected with Indiana through his family. We've talked about that earlier in the week. and he's just kind of going through the motions as far as checking the campus out, checking the coaching staff out before he makes a commitment to Indiana, which could happen shortly after his visit, I think is what a lot of people think. So probably a really big addition. I mentioned this earlier in the week as well. He's not the big-time name of Omar Ballo or Cannon Carlisle or Miles Rice coming out of the portal, but what he is a great shooter, a consistent shooter, and that is what Indiana needs more than anything. So for that reason, I think you would put Goody as pretty high on the want list for Indiana, especially at this point of the transfer portal cycle. In fact, the remaining openings for Indiana for next season, you got to believe that Mike Woodson and the staff are going to target players that might be more role-type players, potentially even bench players, but you would think the common denominator the rest of the way with some of these open scholarships would be shooting ability, specifically three-point shooting ability. So I think a good sign that Goody is on campus, and we'll see if he makes it official to Indiana coming up here in the next few days. Indiana in top 25s. We talked about this earlier in the week. It really doesn't mean much, but it is fun to see, and it does show you that Indiana really has made up some ground since the end of the regular season. According to ESPN's Jeff Borzello, he's got Indiana as his biggest riser. It is what I call way early top 25. He has the Hoosiers at number 16 and says, quote, "The winners of the first wave of portal season, the Hoosiers landed Arizona transfer Omar Ballo, the top-ranked player in the portal, as well as top 15 transfer or guard transfers Miles Rice and Cannon Carlisle. Three starters also return, Malik Renew, Mackenzie Mbako, and Trey Galloway. Without adding more shooting, though, Indiana could run into some of the same offensive issues as last season." Great sentence there. Again, without adding more shooting, though, Indiana could run into some of the same offensive issues as last season. That is very well said by Mr. Borzello of ESPN. Gary Parrish, we talked about him earlier in the week. He's got Indiana at number 20 in his daily updated 25-1 for next season. And as far as computer ratings go, Bart Torvik, we mentioned computer ratings earlier in the week and how all the local programs, including Bellarmine and Louisville and Kentucky, are already trending better for next season. According to his algorithm, he's got Indiana's new roster as it stands now as number 20 in the country. So the media guys, 16 to 20, the computer, number 20 in the country. And I think if they added good to the roster, it would move Indiana up to number 17 in the country. So some three-point shooting could definitely help this team, even in the computer ratings for next season. NFL draft day, I believe it's in Detroit. So going to be fun to see what happens there. Michael Penix obviously didn't finish at Indiana, but got started there and had some really good moments for IU football. He is one of the upcoming, or one of the guys with IU connections that could be called during the draft. He's a potential first-round pick, so we'll see where he goes and when he goes. I think there's a chance that maybe an IU guy or two gets called, but nothing certain for IU football as far as graduates or people exiting the program from last season's roster. I think Michael McFadden drafted last year, I believe. But this year, I think there's like six or seven different guys that have hopes of getting to the NFL, hopes of getting drafted, but not sure if anybody will. I'm sure somebody will get picked up through free agency and through an unsigned drafted, you know, for a rookie opportunity, roster opportunity at minimum. But I don't see anything here in front of me that looks like Indiana has a lock-in to be drafted this season. But I know a lot of IU football fans will definitely be paying attention to Michael Penix and where he goes. Still a great connection between Penix and a lot of IU supporters. And you wonder what could have been had he remained at IU as the quarterback after the COVID season, had he not had some of the injuries that he had while in Bloomington. Would Tom Allen still be the football coach today? Would this IU football team have taken it up a level or two? Would they have played in more bowl opportunities? Would they have won some bowl games with Penix? You never know. But what he did out west there in Washington, pretty amazing to cap out his college football career. One other Big Ten basketball note, Michigan and new coach Dusty May have signed four-star Justin Pippen, who is the son of Scottie Pippen. So there's an interesting commit for Coach May and the Wolverines as he tries to build his first roster at Michigan. One other local note I want to mention, last night a big high school baseball game locally, Providence and Silver Creek, and the Pioneers got a big win in Sellersburg last night, 11-6 over Silver Creek. Outstanding performance by Providence. Silver Creek has been one of the key teams in the area, I think, along with Floyd Central this year. Blake Straub pitched the win for the Pioneers. He's now 4-1 on the season. And Luke Kruer, he was the big hitter of the night for Providence. He had a home run, actually had two home runs last night for the Pioneers. Providence now 9-3, Silver Creek 11-5. I think you got to think Providence, Silver Creek, and Floyd Central, the three teams here locally in Clark and Floyd counties to watch as we at the middle point of the season and starting to think about the sectionals. In fact, I saw this Sunday, baseball and softball sectional pairings will be drawn in Indianapolis. So we are definitely inching closer to the start of the high school baseball and softball, and really spring sports in general, postseasons. That is all coming up here very quickly. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. We would love to have your inclusion here. Send us a text, 502-414-1450 on the Thornton's text line. And we'll head to a commercial break and come back with more, including our first guest of the show, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, will join us to talk IU basketball and more. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Thursday edition of the show. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with us on Thursdays as we talk IU basketball, and there is plenty to talk about this time of year thanks to recruiting and the transfer portal. 502-414-1450 is the Thornton's text line if you've got a question for Alex. Again, 502-414-1450. And Alex, I want to go to the text line with our first question here of this segment. Texter says he's missed some of the live shows but thought Gabe Cupps had a good freshman season with new talent coming in. What do you expect from Cupps for the upcoming year?
Are you there? Alex, sorry, Matt. I lost you there for a second. In terms of Cupps, yeah, I think it's going to be an adjustment for him in terms of role this season. Obviously, played a lot more as a freshman than what he anticipated. A lot of that obviously due to injuries with Xavier Johnson and him not being able to stay in the lineup kind of forced Cupps into a bigger role than a lot of people expected. I think he averaged in the low 20s in terms of minutes. I would expect that to go down significantly next season, not out of anything that Cupps did wrong necessarily, but with what Indiana has added from the transfer portal and the return of Trey Galloway, obviously Ja'Kai Newton has a chance to potentially carve out a rotation spot next season. I think it's going to be an uphill battle for Cupps in terms of minutes. I actually think he may be kind of a fringe rotation guy, depending on how it all shakes out. Maybe a guy that some games gets double figures minutes, but more often than not going to be playing a ton because of, I think, the minutes that Miles Rice and Carlisle are going to command in the backcourt along with Trey Galloway. So, I think it was a good learning experience for Gabe Cupps in his first year. I think he's got a lot of work to do in his game. You look at his statistics. Offensive rating wasn't very high last year from a statistic standpoint, just didn't really contribute a whole lot in the box score. And so, I think he's going to have a pretty big offseason ahead. He's got to get better if he wants to play minutes, but I think he's going to be just facing an uphill battle to carve out a rotation spot next year with what Indiana's been able to get from the portal.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Little discussion on Gabe Cups. There's so much going on with the transfer portal that we have spent a lot of time talking about incoming additions or potential additions. It's kind of nice to go back and talk about some of the players from last year's roster. That said, we do know that Trey Galloway underwent a knee surgery. It was mentioned as a minor procedure, and he's expected to be back and available for the 24-25 college basketball season. I believe it was reported on Pigs as a meniscus, but definitely a bummer for Trey, because this offseason for him individually to put in work, but also with the team and so many new additions, it's going to be a key time for everybody to be together in Bloomington, and Trey's going to miss the on-the-court stuff.
Yeah, that's obviously something we were expecting based on how his season finished up and the fact that he was unable to play in those last couple of games. You knew at that point that something was not right with him from a health perspective. So makes sense for him to go ahead and get that taken care of now, and you hope that it's not a long-term thing. It's going to keep him out too long, and he's able to be back at least at the latest, I would hope, for the fall. As workouts begin and get ready for the season. But maybe not the worst thing either for him to get a little bit of time off because of the wear and tear that this season had on his body. I mean, you look at a guy that really played a ton of minutes for Indiana this year, and he carried a heavy load, and he plays with a reckless abandon, I guess is the best way to say it. And maybe not the worst thing in the world for him to get a little time off and get some rest and recuperation, and I'm sure he'll be ready to go once the season tips off next winter.
Talking with Alex Bozich, InsideTheHall.com and at Inside the Hall on social media. Great follow there on IU basketball. Let's get into the portal. Obviously, Indiana's had a great haul so far. Luke Goody is expected on campus today and tomorrow for an official visit to Indiana. And by all accounts, drawing connections with his family's ties to Indiana and him being an in-state player and him kind of fitting the bill really for what Indiana needs for next season now that they've got some of these big name guys coming in. I would be really surprised if Luke Goody isn't the next player to commit to Indiana's roster for next season. Do you feel the same way, that he's just kind of going through this official visit process before making his decision? And what kind of addition would he be? We know he's a shooter. How big of a get would he be for Indiana next year?
Yeah, it definitely seems like all of the signs are pointing towards him ending up in Indiana. Obviously, there's some ties there with his family to the school. And, I obviously had some family that played football for Indiana, grew up, if you believe the reporting, following the program. And so from that perspective, it would make sense. In terms of the player that Indiana would be getting, he was a guy that really – last season struggled to stay on the court. He missed a ton of time at the end of the year, came back later in the year and played pretty well. I think the final 10 games of the year, but had some injury problems. This year was easily his most productive in his Illinois career, a guy that can come off the bench and give you some shooting from the perimeter. That's easily, I think, his biggest strength as a player. Not a guy that's going to defend necessarily at a high level or mix it up in terms of rebounding, but he's a guy I think can come in and give you 12 or 15 minutes off the bench, make a couple threes here and there, and help you spread the floor, which is the thing Indiana's desperately been lacking in previous seasons. So I think that's kind of the scouting report on him. Definitely, if he were to commit to Indiana, I think he's going to be a great culture guy, a guy that well-liked in the locker room. You hear a lot of good things about him. I know he's a very good student, too, so I believe he was an academic All Big Ten selection over at Illinois. I think maybe the only guy on the roster that earned that distinction. So, just a very solid all around addition. And at this point, a lot of people have been asking me in terms of the portal, like what to expect next and who Indiana can get. But you look at what they've already assembled from a roster perspective. It's getting harder now, I think, to find pieces that are gonna be willing to come and commit to roles that are left in the roster. I think a lot of the minutes are already spoken for with Umar Ballo in the post, obviously the guards that they brought in, Malik Renew, McKenzie Mbako, Trey Galloway all coming back, Bryson Tucker. I mean, we're not even really talking about him all that much, and he was a five-star that just committed last month. So really for these last couple spots, you're looking for role players that are willing to come in and play their role as best they can. You know, I kind of liken it to the, you know, when Indiana was able to get Max Bielfeldt and Nick Zeislof as transfers. Those are the kind of players you're looking for. Maybe not a guy that's going to play a ton of minutes, but someone that's able to come in off the bench and fill a specialty role. And I think Luke Goody fits that bill pretty well.
Alex Bozich inside the hall is our guest. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Beside Goody, Alex, who else is a legitimate target for Indiana right now? And I guess at this point, when you think about targets, it's probably not going to be one of the top-tier portal guys as Indiana's had success with so far, because playing time is going to become an issue. Minutes are going to become an issue. It's almost like at this point, much like Goody, Indiana's going to have to target some specific holes and some specific needs with what they have remaining as far as portal opportunities.
Yeah, I think it may take a little bit more time to develop. I mean, some of the names that we heard, I think, in previous weeks have moved on to different priorities. I mean, the kid from Evansville, Humbrickhouse, I believe is how you pronounce it. He's looking primarily, it seems like, at Illinois and Louisville. The NAIA kid from Grace College seems like unlikely at this point that he's going to seriously consider IU. I think he's looking for a bigger role somewhere he can go and play more minutes, but obviously with Ballo in front of anybody that comes into the IU mix, you're going to be looking for a guy that's going to have to take backup minutes. So, I mean, I think if Goody commits, I think what you would be looking for in the final two spots, if you're going to take somebody, and I don't think it's necessarily a 100% that they would want to fill both spots, maybe you leave one open, but I think for sure you want to try to find a backup big man, someone that can come in and play, you know, 10 to 12 minutes a game, give Malik Renew and Ballo a break when needed. I think that's probably priority number one. After that, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to look for a younger player that is willing to come in and maybe, you know, take some time to develop and maybe have a smaller role in their first year, learn the system, and be someone that can play in a year or two, maybe a wing type player, somebody that can maybe help space the four, potentially it could be another ball handler. You know, I think that's kind of going to kind of be up to the staff to determine what they really need, but you know, if they're able to reel in Goody and find a backup big man at that point, I think you're pretty well set in terms of the rotation. You can kind of maybe on that last spot, be a little bit more selective on what you want to go get. But, you know, at this point, it would be extremely unlikely, in my opinion. Now, I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but that you would anybody that would be a high impact guy in terms of minutes or role, because I just don't see the opportunity there with the roster the way it's currently assembled. That's kind of, you know, the great thing about getting these commitments that they already have is, obviously, it makes a huge impact on what Indiana can be as a team next season. But now that a lot of the minutes are already spoken for, it just becomes harder to find guys that are willing to come in and take a lesser role. Because obviously, there's a lot of guys that transfer because they want to play more. So it's probably going to be somebody that's an up transfer or coming from a lower level that wants to maybe try to find their way at a higher level and thinks they can maybe learn for a year or two playing behind somebody and get a chance to play. You could also find, you know, somebody that's just content to play a backup role and to finish out their college career. So I don't think at this point there's any for sure names that are out there that Indiana's I'm sure they're talking to people behind the scenes, but I haven't seen anything out there publicly yet in terms of what they might do for those last couple spots. And like I said, you know, the portal closes I think next week, and that's for undergrad transfers and grad transfers. I think that was clarified earlier in the week. So pretty much every name that's going to be in the portal is going to be in there by next Wednesday. And you could see this play out here over time and well into May for Indiana to fully solidify the roster.
Alex, being an IU basketball fan is tough. And I know we have a number of diehard fans that listen each and every day in the season, out of the season, live on the radio or via podcast. And you go from being terribly disappointed in Mike Woodson and this team to the end of the year showing a little bit of hope. Then obviously the Nebraska game, Indiana getting absolutely torched, getting their doors blown off to end the season in the Big Ten tournament. And then since then, a lot of wins in recruiting and a lot of wins in the portal for Indiana. And all of a sudden, Indiana is one of the buzz teams for next season in college basketball. It's tough to follow the ups and downs and the low moments, and then all of a sudden, maybe projections of being a top 20 team or higher next season. What is a realistic approach to this for next year as an IU fan listening to this show? Should Indiana be considered as one of the front runners in the Big Ten Conference? Should they really be considered a top 15, top 20 team, as some of the college basketball analysts are suggesting? Or is it too early to know any of that just yet?
Yeah, I think it's a little early. I mean, the rosters are starting to come into more focus now. I'm probably going to next week do my first kind of pass through of all the Big Ten rosters, looking at who's coming and going from each team. And I think at that point we can kind of get a better idea of where Indiana stands. I mean, there's been these early top 25s that have come out. I think ESPN had one today. Indiana was, I think, the second highest ranked Big Ten team behind Purdue. I think we also saw Rutgers was in there, Ohio State, and there was one other Big Ten team. I forget. It's kind of all running together at this point in terms of the information overload. But there was five Big Ten teams, I think, in the preseason top 25 from ESPN. Indiana was the second highest. So, you know, they're definitely going to be a team that's talked about being in that mix going into next season. You know, I think there's obviously a ton of reasons for optimism. I think people should be excited about what next season could be. You know, fans were obviously disappointed in last season, and they were completely justified in feeling that way. There was people that expressed their anger and frustration in different ways, and I think most all of it was justified and from a place of just, you know, wanting Indiana to be better as a team and a program. And I think next season has a chance, at least on paper. A lot of things have to play out, and things have to go right, but I think there's a good opportunity for Indiana to kind of right the ship, so to speak, and have a really good season, be a really good seed in the NCAA tournament, give themselves a chance to compete for a Big Ten title. I don't think that's out of the question by any means.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. He joins us Thursdays on the show. Alex, thanks for all the great coverage of all the transfer portal happenings, and we'll keep it tuned to InsideTheHall.com and chat with you again next week.
Absolutely, Matt. Thanks for having me on, as always. Have a good rest of your day and a great weekend.
All right. Alex is with us on Thursdays with lots of great information. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. A couple other texts on the Thornton's text line I want to get to. Texter says, I'm really surprised Cups is staying with the new additions. It seems like they have over-recruited him. Maybe. I would say they got more talent and some players with even more promise than Cups coming in. But the way Mike Woodson coaches, the rotations, lots of guys get minutes, I think he'll see opportunities, at least at the start of the season. And I think there's reason to believe that Cups, if he were to be a Hoosier for 4 years, could really be a special player, a special leader, a special point guard for the team. So over-recruited, potentially, which is never a bad thing. But I think the way Woodson coaches, or at least how he has coached to date, would lead me to believe that there's probably playing time for more guys than just, you know, the starters and a couple off the bench. We'll see. Also, Texter says, do we have enough shooters to make major improvement from last season? I think there's players that can make an improvement from last season, some really talented athletes and skilled guys and scorers, but I don't know that you would say Indiana at this moment has added shooters specifically. I think that Rice, a scorer, Carlisle, an interesting scorer, Balo, obviously a down low threat. You've got other guys coming back from last season that have scoring abilities. We know that for sure, but the first real shooter addition should be Luke Goody if everything goes well on his official visit. And as Alex and I discussed, I think you'll see the remaining spots go very strategically, you would hope at least, to guys that can fill the void of shooting and help raise that percentage, help shoot the three-point ball more efficiently. But we'll see. So those are things to follow, I think, as these final spots get filled over the coming weeks or maybe even months. We'll head to a break. We're back with Steve Kerberg. We'll talk some high school hoops and local basketball. Mr. Basketball was named yesterday. Flory Badunga, Kansas signee and Kokomo player, named Mr. Basketball over Jack Benner. He was number two in the voting from Brownstown. We'll talk about that and a lot more coming up. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Thursday show. Steve Kerberg, former head high school basketball coach in the area, great friend of the game, joins us Thursdays. We talk basketball, all things basketball here locally in Southern Indiana. And Steve, the latest thing in the offseason is Mr. Basketball. I believe it's still a very coveted award in our state. And there was some thought and maybe even hope that Jack Benner, Purdue commit from Brownstown, who had such a great season that culminated with a 2A state championship a few weeks ago, maybe could somehow win the award over high-flying athletic Flory Badunga, who is headed to Kansas. Obviously, Badunga played at Kokomo. He's not originally from Indiana, not originally from the United States, but has been here now for a few years and has sure made a big impact on the game in our state. But when the final votes were tallied, Badunga, the clear winner, I think he had 190-something votes, and Benner had 120-something votes in the final tally of ballots from media and coaches and others eligible in our state to decide. Any surprise, any thoughts on Badunga beating out Benner for Mr. Basketball?
Hey, second place isn't too bad in that award, man. I mean, that was two tremendous players. I had the privilege to watch Jack Benner play in person, just overwhelmed with his talent, and I think he's going to be a great fit at Purdue, and you know, he's one of those guys that can be a impact player for years to come there. But yeah, Flory's a special talent for sure. Had his choice of schools to go anywhere in the country, and we're just privileged, man. We're blessed. This and speaking of that, this coming class, I guess, of 2025 is just loaded throughout the state. And locally also, I mean, we have such a strong class of incoming seniors next year. But it's always fun to follow who wins the award and get to see these guys play the team from Kentucky here soon. So there's been some talk that this team's a little down this season, but I know if those two guys play, they're not down at all.
Yeah, for sure. It should be a great series, Indiana and Kentucky, in the annual All-Star Series coming up in June. But doing a Mr. Basketball, Benner, number two, you're right, number two is never a bad thing in that award, especially with some of the great players that compete for that award in our state each and every year. And I'm glad you brought up the future, because I do feel like locally and beyond across our state, we are in for a really good future. The next few classes, even, you hate to get too crazy about middle school basketball, but even locally in middle school, Steve, there are some players, eighth grade, moving into high school next year at a number of our different local programs that I think have an opportunity to make some impacts right away. So I think the state of basketball, as we think about things here in the off season, Southern Indiana and beyond in our state, is pretty strong still.
Hey, it never stops. We always seem to have just great players come through the area and teams that have a chance to make a state run. But yeah, there's so much talent in this incoming senior class. And I was reading some message boards about high school basketball, and there's a fan that likes to put out calls it way too early rankings for next year. And it had Jeffersonville as the number one team in 4A next year. Now, you know, it's just a fan putting out their thoughts about the season. But just the idea that Jeffersonville is going to have, you know, they're basically their entire roster back. Four or five just really solid seniors next year. Christian Academy was second on that. Again, this is just a fan, but just it produces excitement for the area and for local teams. New Albany's got the core of their whole team back and a very strong incoming senior class. Silver Creek is loaded with talent of sophomores and juniors next season. They were on that list also that I was looking at. But Charlestown returns almost their entire team next season. Southwestern will be good. We know Providence is always good. I hate to even mention teams because we leave them out, but it seems like it's a cycle every single year, man. We have teams that can compete at the state level. We have players that are getting offers, you know, to play at the next level. And we just have some really solid basketball in this area, and it should be another exciting season we're already looking forward to next year.
Steve Kerberg is with us. We talk basketball locally each Thursday here on the show. Coach, off-season stuff to think about. We've talked about some of the early practices that are now allowed 2 days a week. We've talked about some of the summer league opportunities and June activities. And, of course, a lot of players also playing travel or club basketball as well. And then you've got a lot of guys that go right from high school basketball to playing another spring sport representing their schools. So we've talked about the coaches. There's no downtime for them any longer. A high school basketball coach in Indiana, it's basically a year-round deal. And for a lot of the athletes, whether it's multiple sports or just one sport like basketball, it's a year-round deal for them as well in many cases.
Absolutely. I think this is kind of on topic what you said, but I'm a believer that we've seen, this is another great discussion that we could have about the longevity that we're seeing with coaches. It seems like coaches aren't staying around as long, and I think part of that is the all-year commitment. You know, you're coaching all year and coaching throughout the summer, and I've seen some schools maybe where coaches receive some compensation for coaching during the summer. I think that's a very, you know, I don't know how all of it works for every school, but I think it's a great idea to help incentivize coaches when they give up their summers as teachers, you know, to coach during the summer, to incentivize them to work hard, because the great teams in our area and across the state aren't just teams. You know, a team is where you have a coach and players, and you know, you play basketball games, but the successful teams are really programs, and to build a program you have to build up your youth leagues, and you have to pour time into the skill work and play against better competition across the state. So coaches that are committed to building programs, I think, are very special and should be, you know, I think schools should try to keep those kind of coaches around, in my opinion. But as far as teams go, I think you really want to challenge yourself in the summer, play against teams that are better than you, and really, really see the weaknesses of your team, but also see the things that are going to be strengths also. But when you play really good teams, which the summer allows you to do, you can play all levels of teams and all different kind of events and challenge yourself. And, you know, it takes some of the pressure off of the wins and losses and really helps with not only player development but team development during the summer.
No question about it. Steve Kerberg, my guest. Steve, also thinking ahead to the summer, you know, the travel ball is so important, especially if you have aspirations of playing college basketball. We've talked about how the transfer portal has affected recruiting, and it really drops down from Division I to Division II, and that continues through all levels of college basketball recruiting. But if you're a junior or senior, even if you're just wanting to play at a small level here locally, you've got to get out and be seen. And often a travel basketball opportunity with the right team and the right tournament can be an opportunity to be viewed, to be watched by multiple coaches at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Something we're seeing a lot across the country in all of youth sports is burnout, I think. Kids that play all year long and play from when they're very little all the way till their senior year in high school. And sometimes when you play that much basketball, when you get an opportunity to be seen by coaches, or maybe you finally receive a little interest from coaches, which, like you said, is much more difficult now with the transfer portal. You almost have to grind, you know, a little bit more But sometimes when you get that opportunity to play in front of coaches or get some interest from coaches, you know, it sparks that fire again, that interest again, you know, like, man, maybe all of this work is really worth it. But that's also the other reality is when you play in college basketball, when you play in college at any sport, you have to realize that, you know, you not only are you responsible for your academics, but it's almost like it can become a job almost. You have to really, really, really want to do it. You have to really love it. And you have to, you know, have to put the time in to get there, but you also have to realize that it's special to get to play at the next level. And you know, the statistics show that the percentages of kids that get to play at the next level, it's very special. You have to want it. You have to love it. You have to put the time in to put yourself in a position to be there. But playing in front of college coaches, even with high school teams in the summer, is really a cool thing and a great opportunity to get to show, you know, the work that you put in.
Absolutely. Steve Kerberg with us on Thursdays. Coach, have a great day. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
All right. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday show. Back with you Friday at 11 a.m. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.